them to make a contract with a dark force. Well, that is what we know of liches, at least, Josh said. It's a phylactery, Dwayne sighed. Soapbox is easier to say, Josh retorted. Fine, Dwayne shook his head. So what do you want these scouts for? Elidorn asked. We're going to take a ton of them, shove them through every friggin' portal in the place, and send them to find that soapbox. Once we have it, then we can destroy it and bye-bye lich, Josh said. I will see how many we can give you. Elidorn nodded. Thanks. Josh smiled and turned to Dwayne. Want to show her around? She's probably seen it all through the different mage lenses around the place, but it's usually better in person. Fine. I was just going to check on the training grounds anyway. Dwayne rose to his feet. Would you like to accompany me, Elidorn? Certainly. She rose and followed him. Is there anything you are interested in specifically, like different magics and such? Watching people swing weapons around is not always the most interesting thing, Dwayne said as he cleared off his tray. Kim said something about Dave using magical artillery. Well, some things I can't show you. One of them being what Dave's inventions do. That stuff we try to keep under wraps. I can see if he's free to talk to you, though. He's probably going back to the forge after his demonstration. He's working on weapons. That is fine. Shard is enamored with him, and I would like to understand why. With all the ideas he's spouting and tests he has Shard running, I would think it would be because of their shared interest in making the impossible, and things that would scare the Pantheon. Dwayne snorted. Interesting. Elidorn doubted that anything Dave could come up with could make the Pantheon pay the slightest attention to a mere mortal. She felt it was best to keep that to herself. Kim said that Dave told you that we were back on Emerilia. I was wondering how this is possible. We do like to keep our privacy. Well, his friend Bob told him. Dwayne stepped into a lift. Elidorn followed him. Bob? Well, you might know him as the Grey God. Neutrality, Balancer. I'm not sure what his titles are, but apparently Dave caught the eye of the game's AI and became friends with it. Dwayne snorted and shook his head. Never know what that guy is going to do next. There was a loud thump, and smoke started to come from somewhere in the tower. This way, please, Dwayne said as the lift stopped, guiding her away from the explosion. I told you not to set it off inside, an angry male voice yelled. Well, you didn't tell me it didn't have a safety, Kim yelled back. The safety is not channeling your mana into it and then giving it coordinates. Whoops. Though, on the plus side, I'm awake now. Can't hear shit, but awake. What asshole just tried to blow up a side of this damn tower while I was sleeping? Another female voice joined into the fray. Elidorn didn't know whether to run for safety or laugh at Dwayne's pained expression. It was Dave. What? I can't hear, 'cause someone blew my eardrums out. Kim, no more touching shit that goes bang inside.
But it wasn't me.
There was a massive surge of mana as Elidorn felt her blood go cold.
Ow, fine. No more using things that could explode inside, Kim said. Good.
Anyone else wants to wake me up, I'll kick their ass into the Densau Ring of Fire myself. There was a loud bang as a door slammed shut. Lucy isn't a morning person. Hasn't got much sleep recently. Makes her a bit cranky, Dwayne said, as they reached outside, where people were sparring. Their attacks left dents and furrows in the ground.
Oh, okay,
Elidorn said, giving a weak smile.
They might not have been that strong when they came here, but now they're becoming monsters. Lucy's attack was that of a master-level mage of 30 years, not someone who has been around for less than 2. These players learn and grow so fast. I must figure out how they do it.
Excited by the new challenge ahead of her, she listened to Dwayne as he talked about the fighting skills of the Stone Raiders. happily answering any questions that Elidorn might have. They stopped to watch Steve as he fought against four other behemoths. He whistled out a tune as he moved with the kind of seamless actions one would never think of seeing in a creature as big as him. He'd weave out of attack range and fire a lightning bolt from his right hand, or change his left to hurl 3-foot-long bolts into his opponents. We're teaching him better control. He's big, strong, and well-armored, so he was lacking many of the basic skills. Had to get Anna to pound it into his metal head that there is always someone bigger and more powerful. So he trains just like the rest of us, Dwayne said, following her eyes. She nodded, unable to form words at it all.
It was just surprising, awe-inspiring, exciting.
All these thoughts and more ran through her mind.
These players are something else. I wonder what the other groups are like.
Chapter 13 Operation Fetch.
Commence Operation Fetch, Josh said.
Seriously, we're going with Fetch? Kim asked. Lucy just gave her a look that seemed to ask, what else did you expect? As she read a book on her magic carpet. Scout guardians flooded through different teleport paths all across the city, and different facilities that the Stone Raiders controlled. They were connected to every teleport pad in the Aleph College. Hundreds of scouts appeared in the college, turning invisible and spreading out as fast as possible. Many met various creatures waiting at the teleport pad control rooms. A number of scouts' signals disappeared as they rushed through the facility. As one was captured, they would set off a grenade hidden within them, clearing the way for more of their brethren and taking out the creatures within before the real fight started. Josh watched the map in the command center as it updated with information on all manner of threats, from rune traps to creatures. Everyone watched as the scouts were cut down faster and faster. They had 40% of the college mapped out.
Where are you? Come on.
Josh held onto the side of the table that showed the college's map. Even Lucy had put down her book to watch the scouts' progress. They got to 70% when one of the scouts found the lich. Its clothes and body were barely holding on to its bones, rotting off. The lich let out a hellish scream and activated its legendary attack. The attack was like a wave of destruction. Shadows seemed to spread out from the lich, flowing through the halls of the college and wiping out any of the scouts it saw.
Well, mates, got some good news and bad news.
Good news? We're going to go and fight the lich today, because it doesn't have that attack anymore and it should take quite a while for it to get it back. Bad news, we're going to go fight that lich today. We also have no bloody idea where that soul box is. So, now, let's pull a plan together to kill the creatures in the library, hold that lich down in one place, and send people to find its damned phylactery, Josh said, doing air quotes in the air as if he was some supervillain in flashy silver spandex.
For a moment, nothing happened, and then people started to talk to one another and discuss what the hell they were going to do. Some of them shaking their heads at Josh's antics.
No? Nothing?
Josh said, moving in his seat, looking to everyone.
Well, there goes the 200 times I've watched Austin Powers, he muttered to himself. Just got to kill an arch lich. No problem. Easy as pie,
Josh thought to himself, finding that he was more perturbed that no one got his reference. He shrugged, giving up on it, and started to help planning how they were going to kill an arch lich. Even if they died a dozen times, they'd clear out the college and grind the lich down to nothing. It was just a matter of time and planning.
And that is the plan, Josh said 3 hours later.
Rush the college, kill anything in our way. Teams go off and try to find the phylactery while the rest kill creatures or pin down the arch lich, Dave summarized.
Quick version.
Yep, Josh grinned. Dave shook his head and cracked a smile.
Sounds like a fine plan to me.
Why did you ask me and mine to come in here for a private briefing? Dia asked.
You have some of the highest magical sensing skills out of any party. I want you to be spearheading the different groups that are going out to find that bloody box.
You do realize this is a college, right? Susie asked.
I told him, Lucy said from in the corner.
What?
So it's gonna have a few magical objects in it.
Josh shrugged. The whole place is filled with magical objects, not including different runes and whatever traps and different magical items the Arch-Lich has created, Shard said through the command center speakers.
Josh scratched his head. Okay, so it's going to be a bit difficult, but it is the best shot we've got.
Sounds like fun. When do we leave? Induka asked.
2 hours, and we start.
Well, I don't know about all of you, but I have some things I need to do. Never killed me an Arch-Lich before.
Dave sounded thoughtful, before a big smile crossed his face.
First time for everything, right?
These are for you.
Dave pulled 2 blades from out behind his back and presented them to Dia. Her eyes went wide as she covered her mouth, appraising them. Firecracker's blades. Forged by Dave Groslog for his beloved, these blades hold the passion of the heart. Quality, S. Abilities. Increased affinity for fire, +10%. Increased agility, +20%. Increased willpower, +35%. Forever sharp. Grows in power through use. Fire Dancer. Charge, 20,000 of 20,000. Durability, 351 of 351.
Dave!
She smiled as she read the words and gave him a great big kiss. A goofy smile spread across his face at her reaction.
You shouldn't be wearing yourself out before a battle, making all of these items.
She looked at him with concern, looking for signs for fatigue. Scared that his fatigue might mean him dying again.
It was worth it. And your blades right now couldn't take more than a half dozen fire-imbued slashes before falling apart.
You've become too strong for them.
Dave held the blades behind her as they looked into each other's eyes.
Well, thank you, but next time, get some rest instead of being tired right before a battle.
Her concern was clear in her eyes and voice.
I'll do my best, babe.
Dave smiled and leaned forward. She eagerly met his lips.
Now, what is this fire dancer ability?
Well, I kind of got something I wasn't expecting with that one. I was trying to modify the blades so that they would be able to handle you imbuing them with your mana, so that they would work together. The magical coating worked well, but the metal was not supposed to handle the kinds of heat that you usually use. So I kept on heating it up as hot as it could go, and reforming it to try to get the blade to temper the metal and strengthen it through its ability to grow with the user. I used the master skill of smithing. The metal gained the skill fire resistant. Combined with the magical coating, it should be able to take on your fire-based sword attacks. The more you use it and use fire dancer attacks, the stronger it will become and you can use more powerful fire attacks.
Dave's pride was clear. Dia pulled the blades out of their sheaths. They were curved slightly, like a katana, but without its hilt. Their razor-sharp edges glinted slightly in the light. They were the perfect blades for her. She moved with them, practicing her different forms, flowing from one through to the next. She held them out, studying the magnificent weapons.
It looks like you are not just getting your ass beaten when you were fighting me.
She smiled.
Hey, I only got my ass beat because my teacher's beauty stole my attention the whole time.
Dave grinned and gave her a wink. She laughed and wrapped her hands around his neck. Others had been scared by her tendencies to fight, and because of her desire to be a ranger. Men from Kufotel had said that she would calm down eventually to become a lovely wife, sitting at home. Dave never nursed those hopes and dreams. He might be an inventor and a man pulled by his curiosities, but Dia knew that he was a warrior as well. She kissed him, looking into his eyes, at the laugh lines around his eyes, and the way those eyes looked at her. She kissed him again, pulling his head to hers, as if pulling him tighter would make the moment last longer.
All right, Stone Raiders, let's raid!
Josh's voice reverberated throughout the entire city, as whistles and cheers responded, weapons held high in excitement for the coming battle. Dave hotkeyed his armor, pulling his hood down so others couldn't see his face. He moved in it, jumping up and down a few times to make sure that it was comfortable. Dia added her blades to her outfit, and then hotkeyed her armor as well. She, too, pulled down her hood, her hair pulled back into a ponytail at the back of her head, and tucked into her hood.
How are you one-handed and two-handed?
Dave pulled up the skills. Active skill. Two-handed. Level. Expert. Level 9. Effect. 38% armor penetration on target. Stamina costs reduced 15% while fighting. Cost. 35 stamina. Active skill. One-handed and shield. Level. Master. Level 1. Effect. Weapons damage increased by 41%. Defense increased by 20%. Can use two-handed weapon in one hand with 50% speed penalty. Cost, 20 stamina.
Two-handed at Expert 9, one-handed just made it into Master. Almost got everything I need for Weapons Master.
I have a feeling you'll be able to get that two-handed in this next fight,
Dia said.
Me too,
Dave said. It wasn't long until the rest of their party was gathered together.
Well, this is bound to be interesting. Susie said.
After that other lich, I don't think this will be anything as mundane as fun,
Malsor added.
All right. Everyone ready?
Josh's voice came out over the guild's chat. Everyone quieted down in their individual parties. Only once they found a big concentration of either enemies or the arch-lich himself would they come together. Till then, it would be a mad dash toward the arch-lich for the most part. The others would be heading into the areas that the scouts weren't able to check.
Fire up the teleport pads, Josh said.
Different locations with the least amount of creatures waiting at them had been picked. As soon as the teleport pad connected, the Stone Raiders surged forward in a charge. Dave entered the teleport pad and entered the Aleph College. At one time, it had been a place of beauty. Now it was barely lit, with rabid stoneworms rushing the Stone Raiders. The front melee fighters engaged. Their weapons cut deep, and the worms screamed out in pain.
Forget the fight! They've got it handled! We need to go find that box!
Dia yelled in the party's ears.
Dave! Anna! Lead! Steve, with me in the back! Let's go!
With that, they headed away from the fight, rushing past the worms. Anna's wind blades cleaving a path through them. The following Stone Raiders opened the path out further before they spread out into the college. The place was massive, easily half the size of the city, but without the rotating abilities of the Aleph cities. They passed dormitories, parks, libraries, training areas, fighting arenas, and laboratories. It wasn't long until the other searching groups with them split off, heading for a different way to get to the area that the scouts weren't able to reach. Dave ran over scout guardians that had been attacked, their bodies torn apart by the different types of magical grenades that they had been carrying. They weren't the only bodies on the ground.
Looks like those grenades did work. Took out a few of the damn creatures round here,
Malsor said.
You find anything with your spidey senses? Susie asked.
Nothing yet. There is a whole lot of college here, and I need to be within a few hundred meters instead of miles to tell most of this magical stuff apart. There's just so much of it that it's hard. I'm trying to look for purely soul magic items, which does make it a bit easier.
Dave made sure to keep his actual eyes open and looking for anything that might sneak up on them.
Ah, shit. Looks like we've got a patrol of the Lich's undead moving toward us.
Dave searched for a place to hide.
There isn't anywhere that would be big enough for Steve to hide in. We need to finish them off, and quick,
Dia said, reading his mind.
Saying I'm fat?
Steve sounded hurt. Dave and Anna looked to each other, nodding as they rushed forward. Dave felt his buffs come into effect as they raced ahead. The lich's creatures snarled as soon as they saw Dave and Anna. Inside their master's domain, there was no hiding from them. Dave conjured and threw spears that exploded as soon as they hit their targets. Anna sent wind blades high and low. Wolves, night terrors, and harpies fell before they could do anything. Dia fired an arrow between Dave and Anna, taking out the harpy. One of the wolves, missing its rear leg, shambled toward them, its hollow and rotten eyes fixed on those who dared to come into its master's realm. The night terrors seemed to expand around the lights that they used to lure their prey, like a deadly flower. Tentacles opened up, revealing a mouthful of teeth directly behind the light source. They used their barbed tentacles to drag themselves forward. Their mouths were between their tentacles, making crunching noises as they moved toward their prey as fast as they could drag themselves. Anna got the wolf as Dave hit a night terror with a spear. It exploded, but the creature kept coming, even after losing a half dozen tentacles. Dia's arrows took out two more before the shadows lanced outward and killed the remaining four within seconds. "Thanks, Melsor." Dave had already started to run forward, sensing the mana that had powered the undead dissipating. "We've got more of the undead coming to try to find us. Most of the guild are moving toward where the Arch-Lich was seen last. He's still there. Guess he likes whatever books he's reading." Dave shivered after using his touch of the land to study the Arch-Lich. He was able to sense his aura. The creature was a depraved soul that desired nothing more than death and pain. He had devoted his entire existence to finding new ways of making this possible. His corruption covered the creatures that he claimed as his servants. The magic and information of the Aleph had made him powerful. "Induka, left side, weevils," Dave said. A twister of fire landed in a hallway of laboratories. Massive weevils screamed out in pain as they were caught up in the inferno. They were a mix between rats as big as a horse and beetles with a hard carapace. Dave had never seen or heard of weevils so big. It didn't really matter when the damn thing was trying to rip your head off. Susie's creations started to range out as well. Malsor, Induka, and Dia dropped heavy magical attacks on everything that was trying to catch them. Dave barely saw any fighting as they rushed forward, entering the zone that the scouts weren't able to get into. "This must be the Grand Library," Dave said, as they ran up steps toward a massive building. Inside, Dave could sense all manner of magics and books.
"Can you find the soul box?" Dia asked.
Dave glanced back to see Dia sending fireballs into the skeletal creations, melting through them or causing them to explode from the impact.
"It's going to be hard. There's a lot of books here on soul magic."
Dave finished with the steps and started across the large open area before the library. Harpies started their sorrowful singing that would make anyone listening want to go and comfort what looked like crying children. Bolts ripped through their thin bodies, cutting them short.
"Shut your traps. Ain't got no ears."
Dave shook his head as the harpies fell to the ground. Their true form appeared as their wings opened, showing the vicious beak and claws that rested underneath, ready to rip armor and flesh to shreds. None of the Stone Raiders had to worry about the harpies. All of them had earplugs in, and they were using their party chats to talk to one another. More creatures started to appear out of the library and the buildings surrounding it. Dave entered the library's door, Anna beside him, as they looked into a massive lobby with stairs curving up and into the floors above. A creature jumped off the second-floor balcony and landed in the middle of the lobby. Its red eyes studied those who had dared to enter its domain. Bone Lord, level 234. It was a creation wholly formed from the bones of the Arch-Lich's victims. Dave felt nausea overtake him for a moment, nearly making him throw up. There was no smell from the creature, but the disgust and rot at the very core of it had a more visceral reaction than any of the decomposing creatures Dave had fought so far.
"We've got incoming from everywhere," Steve said.
"Malsor, seal off this door. We need to deal with this thing as fast as possible before those things get in here," Dia said.
"Is it locked in here with us, or are we locking ourselves in here with it?" Dave didn't like where his mind was going.
Chapter 14. Taking the Fight to the Enemy. With the Arch-Lich and his forces knowing where the Stone Raiders were all the time, Josh and his stealth types were now acting like glorified bodyguards, and supported the melee fighters as best as possible. Josh weaved around Dwayne as he took aggro from a level 215 rock troll. Josh used his blade's abilities, melting into the shadows behind the creature, before he plunged his blades between its rocky armor and through its neck, cutting its spine. The undead troll dropped to the ground as Josh felt a swell of energy fill him. The daggers in his hand demanded more, demanded to be fed, and to claim the lives of those who wished to attack the one who wielded them, to defeat those who tried to attack Josh and the Stone Raiders. Josh reeled in his control as he moved across the battlefield. Although the Arch-Lich might know where they were at all times, his creatures weren't as smart, and they were liable to attack and focus on whatever had the most aggro. That left Josh plenty of openings to sate his dagger's thirst.
"Forward!" Dwayne yelled.
The Stone Raiders, from support to melee fighters, let out a roar as they rushed the creatures in their way. So far, they hadn't met anything that needed more than a party to dispatch. Most of the creatures were higher level than the Stone Raiders, but the Stone Raiders didn't care, working the creatures' health down quickly and efficiently. The parties had their roles down to a science, communicating with one another with just a few words. There were wounded, but no one had died so far. The creatures were overwhelmed as the charging Stone Raiders smashed a path through them. Their blades, spells, and chosen weapons claimed more of the creatures by the minute. Josh found himself in an arena. Shambling mounds, three of them, rested in the arena.
"Throw the dead creatures into the arena! Once the shambling mounds have eaten, they go into hibernation!"
Josh yelled over the guild chat. A group of melee fighters hurled out a corpse into the middle of the arena. The shambling mounds that had been approaching the fighting now shot vines out from their body, playing tug-of-war with one another for the corpse in the air. More corpses sailed through the air. The shambling mounds acted like a group of seagulls instead of terrifying creatures. Their vines shot out, pulling the corpses to them, pulling them into their maws. It took two or three corpses, but the mounds stopped moving and started to move into their hibernation state.
"Through the arena!"
Josh appeared behind a forest wolf, his blades working between the wooden armor that covered it to pierce through its chest and into its heart. Josh jumped off, racing out into the arena after the other Stone Raiders. Mages placed blessings on all of the fallen bodies, so that the Arch-Lich couldn't revive them. Five parties raced across the arena, giving the shambling mounds a wide berth. None of the living creatures dared to enter the arena, sensing the danger of the sleeping creatures. They instead started fighting one another now that their common enemy was gone.
"Undead!"
Kim yelled out. Spells of light rushed to meet the undead ranks. A number fell before they were able to reach the Stone Raiders. These creatures were a higher level than the living creatures they had fought. Holy blades and blessed weapons tore into the creatures. A number of the fighters had changed their weapons. The effectiveness of the holy weapons against the undead was no joke. Just being close to them, the undead yelled out in pain. Josh's mouth rose into a predatory smile. His blades were neither dark nor light. They were soul weapons, draining the very living essence and consciousness from his targets. He had known that the weapons were powerful, but after they had been repaired in Zolun, he didn't know whether he could use another weapon. They fit his fighting style perfectly. When chaining kills together, he could take out fighters that were tens of levels above him. It was only through the higher-ranked gear, buffs, and chain heals that the Stone Raiders were able to hold against the Archlich's forces. Josh's blades, if fed with enough souls, would tear through the undead creatures. Josh ran into the fight, easily dodging past the incoming attacks, his blade's legendary abilities now stacking his own to improve his agility to unseen heights. As his blades hit the undead, he pulled the soul energy from them that animated them, turning them sluggish, or ripping the Archlich's hold on the creatures. As the first started to die, his weapons surged with power, and a faint shadow started to spread from them across his body. Josh laughed, jumping out of the way of a bone knight and disappearing into the shadows. He appeared above the bone lord and stabbed between its shoulder blades. The chained kills and sneak attack fell the bone lord. Shadows seemed to envelop him again. Undead tried to cut at where he had been, but found nothing but darkness. He stepped out of the shadows, on top of one of the benches that lay above the arena, overlooking the entrance that the undead came from.
"Let them come to us!"
Josh yelled. His body and his blades wanted him to drive forward, to feed and become stronger. However, he was first and foremost the guildmaster, more than his blade. His guild needed his leadership. Getting himself killed because he wanted to strengthen his blades and achieve the heady rush of the power that came with using his opponent's souls was not his goal. Winning was. The Stone Raiders broke into their different lines, turning from party fighting into guild fighting within moments. Josh used his shadow ability to move behind his people. It drained a lot of the soul energy from his blades. With the reduced energy, he could focus on what was in front of him and clear his mind.
"We'll weaken their undead numbers here, and then move on to the Archlich. I need a party with people capable of blessing the move back to the other side of the arena, and bless the bodies of the creatures that are dying there. I don't want us to get hit in the arse. Jones, Kai, I want you two to go and watch the other two entrances into the arena. Let me know if anything tries to bite us in the arse."
People rushed off to carry out his orders.
"I hope the searching teams are able to find that damn box.
It won't be long until that Archlich finds something big to send in our direction."
Josh pulled up his map to check on the rest of the guild. Scouting groups were headed into the regions that the scouts hadn't been able to enter. Nearly half of them were dead already, finding resistance that they weren't able to overcome, or being swarmed by the undead forces that knew exactly where they were. Party Zero had made it into the Grand Library of the college. From the symbols, they were fighting off an undead bone lord, as well as hundreds of other undead that were inside the library. Josh moved to the next group he could see. It looked as if the group with Kim were under attack by undead stoneworms. Lucy and the parties under her control rushed through open areas and right up the central road that ran through the college.
"Dwayne, I'm thinking that we should move to link up with Lucy. Nice open area. See where our enemies are behind us and ahead," Josh said.
"Sounds good to me, boss,"
Dwayne said, fighting on the front lines against the undead. Josh opened up a private chat to Mikal, who was running with Lucy's group.
"Mikal, I need you to scout a route from where you are to my position. We're going to move to reinforce you."
"I'll see what I can do. Is it about time for the second wave? Lucy is asking."
5 minutes, then send them in," Josh said.
The Archlich turned his head at the rumbling explosion in the distance. For centuries it had been left in peace, building up his strength and gaining the knowledge that his fellow Aleph had kept from him. He had listened to the Dark Lord's apostle. He had given up his fellow Aleph in order to be given everlasting life, to be left with the knowledge that the Aleph deemed him unworthy of learning. He had developed his own black arts and become the ruler of the Aleph. He let out a dry noise as he went back to reading the books in front of him. He had experimented for generations on the creatures left within the college. He had created an army to deal with those he let run wild. All he needed was the college and the freedom to do his experiments as he desired. The Aleph called it the dark arts, called it murder and torture. The Archlich laughed, a noise that would make any living creature shiver in fear. They had been so blind. They were not willing to push their magic and their abilities to their limits. Not him. He would do everything in his power to become stronger, no matter the cost. Through it, he had transcended death itself. Another rumbling noise could be heard in the distance.
Seems the experiments were not as strong as I hoped,
the Archlich muttered darkly as he drifted through the main building of the college, up to the second floor and the laboratories. Magical tools were scattered around the room. Blood, offal, and dead creatures lay around the room. It was enough to make anyone gag. The Archlich hummed to himself as he looked over a pile of yellowed bones. He held his arms up, infusing the bones with his mana as he started to give the bones form. The Archlich's face contorted in anger as he felt an all-too-familiar magic. Necromancers asserted their will, tearing the controlling bonds the Archlich held.
They dare take control of the creatures that I have made. They must have come for my notes, for my knowledge. I will reward them by making them one of my undead. I wonder if I could make a necromancer undead use their magical powers. Some of the experiments have shown the ability to use their old skills at a reduced level.
The Archlich cackled to himself, excited for all the experiments he would be able to make in the future, and the pain he would put them through as he turned them from living into his undying legions. Dark strands of magic poured from his hands and into a pile of yellowed bones. Their aura was one of anger and uncontained fury. They had come from victims who had been put in mental and physical pain in the end, unable to do anything about their situation. The heap of bones started to pile together, taking on a humanoid form. The Archlich paused as teleport pads opened once again. He felt the automaton's stain as they ran through the halls. The Lich screeched out in anger.
Those metal creations, reminders of that dead race. I will remove all that is left of the Aleph. I will fill their cities and homes with my army of undead. All will know of Alastair Montgoa, the destroyer of the Aleph.
Incensed, the bone creations formed faster and faster. Another bone pile came into a form, bones ripped from the dead creatures to fulfill their master's needs. The Archlich cackled in glee and looked at his two new experiments.
I shall name you Bone Juggernauts.
Standing in front of him were two roughly humanoid creatures. Spikes jutted out from their shoulders and back. Their forearms were massive blades, with a spike where their hand would have been. Red eyes glowed in their empty sockets. The anger of the bones that made up their bodies added to their aura of death. The Archlich touched the first bone juggernaut. Black shadows seemed to pour out from the Archlich's remaining robes and into the bone juggernaut. It bellowed out in joy. Its eyes glowed brighter as black shadows seemed to spread out from its body and down the sharpened spikes and blades that covered its body. The juggernaut of death stomped out of the room, shaking it as the Archlich did the same to the second creation.
We will see how they do. Once I have more data, we can refine these creatures down.
The Archlich made crooning noises as the second bone juggernaut followed the first. It would have taken a normal level 100 necromancer weeks or months to create the bone juggernauts. The Archlich, with his knowledge and power over the undead, could make another 20 in as many minutes.
Switch!
Dia said to Dave. Dave moved out of her way as she switched in, Steve had joined in the fight against the Bone Lord, acting as a tank while Anna and Dave took his health down. Dave moved to help Malsor. Induka was supporting Susie as her creations tore into the creatures that had been hiding in the library or had made it through Malsor's walls.
"How is it looking?"
Malsor asked as Dave hammered two creatures back with his shield. His blade came low under his shield, cutting out legs. His two rods came together in a halberd that he swung across those in front of him, clearing out 5 meters in front.
"He's down maybe 10% health. Things hard as shit, and fast somehow."
Dave followed his inference and perception skills, flowing through the blue movements that he saw and pushed the undead back before Malsor's darklings once again descended and tore the undead apart. Dave looked back to Malsor, a thin sheen of sweat on his face. He had been forming walls and fixing them for 20 minutes now. More and stronger creatures were trying to get in from all directions. It was a matter of time before Malsor's magic wasn't strong enough to keep them out.
"Start letting them in. Susie and I can take more of them on. It will be less of a strain on your walls."
Dave's halberd broke apart into 2 twin hammers.
"The main doorway," Malsor said.
Dave moved to it, setting his feet. Each of the hammers weighed 20 kilos, but Dave no longer felt their weight after smithing for so long.
"Ready?"
Malsor asked.
"Nope, but might as well try this out."
Dave felt Malsor's mana stop channeling into the doorway ahead of them. The wall that was in front of him started to crumble in a matter of seconds. It wasn't long until cracks formed. The wall disintegrated, the undead rushing in after it. Some were too fast, getting crushed by the crumbling wall as they charged. Dave felt power surge through him. As he stamped his foot, spikes came up to pierce through the undead. Spikes continued to form and fall away, thinning the undead horde. Dave spun, launching his hammer through the now open wall. It was like a cannonball slamming into a Bone Lord. Dave destroyed the hammer, creating a spiked ball within the Bone Lord. It grew shadowy spikes and dropped to its knees from the internal damage. Dave destroyed the spiked ball, recalling the rod, as it transformed into a hammer. It crashed through another undead, bones and rotting parts exploding across the hall. Dave met the first undead with his left hammer. Counting as a two-handed weapon, it was a wrecking ball. There was little need for piercing damage, but the blunt effects of armor penetration shattered those that met Dave's hammerheads. He grabbed the second hammer out of the air, bringing it across a minotaur and crushing its ribs, making it stagger. Dave conjured defenses that tore into the undead. Thumping could be heard from above, coming closer every time. Dave leaped back out of an attack, letting his hammer go, as a ball formed in his hand out of shadow.
"Watch your eyes!"
Dave hurled the ball into the middle of the undead. A new sun lit the hall and the lobby as undead screamed at the onslaught of the light grenade. Dave drove his foot into the floor of the lobby, hurling himself forward. He recalled his hammer. Catching it, he spun in midair and brought it over the head of another minotaur. Its head rolled off as Dave used its corpse to propel himself forward. He did everything he could to keep up his momentum, turning his axis and twisting his body for every ounce of power. Each kill and swing set him up for another strike as he turned, using the hammers to unleash his destruction. Finally, the thumping from above stopped as a metal lance broke through the floors above and crashed into the undead piling through the front door. It disappeared in a moment. A whistling sound came from above. 1, then 2, then 3, and more every second. Dave could feel the bruises across his body, the growing headache from his mana usage, and the sweat that stung his eyes. He panted, looking at the advancing undead, undeterred by their loss in numbers. "We're not going to get out of here alive unless we find that damned box or someone kills the Arch-Lich."
Fuck.
Well, they're not going to get my life easily. Now, without the worry about surviving or not, Dave ran toward the undead once again. His sledgehammers changed to swords, then a shield, and then a claymore and spear. They flashed from one weapon to the next as he dispatched undead. They were on or below his overall level, including his skills. Although the undead were slow and had degraded skills after being reanimated, Dave had been trained into unconsciousness by weapons masters. His inference and perception skills allowed him to think of the right weapon for every fight and know how to use it. His dodge skill and perception allowed him to take the least amount of damage as the first of the whistling noises stopped, making it through several floors of the library before impacting in the middle of the hallway. Four creatures were killed instantly in its impact area. Others were thrown away. Dust and debris blew out through both ends of the hallway. Dave used the distraction to kill any of the undead that had been left stunned around him before he backed away. Whistling filled the air as a conjured spear of light dropped from above. Runes glowed along its length, lightly at first and then stronger and stronger. It slammed into undead that were now charging toward him. The spear exploded into brilliant white. The undead cried out as the holy metal burned through their bodies, making them writhe in pain. Their health dropped quickly from the status effect.
That's what you get when you mix artillery shells, kinetic bombardment, and some good old magically blessed metal, Dave said, as 30 undead creatures were turned into lifeless bodies.
Dave took a knee, concentrating, as more thumping could be heard through the library. Dave sensed the floors and roofs above him starting to dissolve. Malsor, seeing what he was doing, was helping him out, banishing everything above where Dave was defending. Whistling noises filled the air as Dave conjured lances to land among the undead masses that were trying to claw their way through Malsor's walls. He couldn't keep it up for long, but the toll on the undead would be high.
"Where is the biggest group of undead?" Susie yelled.
"Over there!"
Malsor put a waypoint on one of the larger entrances into the lobby from the first floor. Susie and Induka moved to it. Susie's creations moved into the hallway, moving onto the walls and floor.
"Open it up!"
Induka said. The wall disintegrated. Undead fell over one another just as the air in the lobby seemed to be dragged toward Induka and the cannon in her arms. Her plasma cannon bucked. Induka rocked with it slightly as the plasma round hit the undead, burning through them and turning it into a burning hell. A firestorm grew the length of the incoming hallway.
"Well, looks like Induka has this one. You have another hallway?" Susie asked.
A new waypoint appeared and Susie moved her creations there. Dave stopped calling down strikes on the undead. His mind nearly at its limit. He needed time to recover. If he overdid it now, then he would be out of the fight. The latest spear went off, the explosion clearing out as Dave moved among the undead. His weapons cleaved through them, knee-deep in undead bodies as he fought. Susie watched her forces get into place, glancing at the fight happening in the middle of the lobby. Steve's mithril was showing through in areas. There looked to be actual scratches in it as Steve fought the Bone Lord. He wasn't as fast as the Bone Lord, but he was the most armored of anyone in the party. If the Bone Lord started targeting his joints, then he would be fucked. But for now, he was holding its attention, slamming his axe against it and yelling at it. Anna and Dia's blades moved with controlled fury. Wind and fire cut into the Bone Lord. As she watched, the Bone Lord reached 70% health. With a yell, it stopped on the ground. Steve was thrown back, stunned. Dia shook off the effects as Anna, who had been out of the area of effect, charged in. The Bone Lord was pushed back 3 feet. Its head turned to find Anna, the fire in its eyes burning brighter in anger. It was nearly 3 times her height, but Anna didn't seem to care. Susie swore that she saw the wolf beastkin smiling as her movements blurred, too fast for Susie to follow. As the Bone Lord was rocked back on his heels, it tried to fend off Anna's attacks as the wind howled with her blade's fury.
They can handle it. Now I just have to get them the time that they need to deal with that ugly bastard.
Come on, you lazy creations. Let's see what you can do.
She channeled some willpower to Steve. He groaned and pulled himself to his feet.
Well, seems that you're a pretty good opponent.
Steve laughed. The lobby shook as he rushed forward.
Didn't you know? I love being the center of attention.
Anna jumped clear as Steve, filled with new energy and power, smashed his axe into the Bone Lord. It didn't have enough time to recover from Anna's attacks and was hurled backward into stairs that led up and into the second floor. Steve leaped after the Bone Lord, finishing the destruction of the stairs, as it was the Bone Lord's turn to be stunned as Steve fought with newfound anger and vigor. Anna and Dia raced in to help him as Susie finished off her preparations. Air creations waited at the mouth of the hall. The rest of it was covered in various strong metals. Behind Susie, her latest creations outlined her body. They were light creations.
Malsor, drop the wall!
Susie called out, holding out her staff. She had 50 creations at her call, the most that she could have normally. With the staff controlling them, it seemed to turn barely contained chaos into precise destruction. The mana fled the area, as Malsor used it somewhere else. Susie didn't need to wait long before the wall came apart, and undead of all manner surged forward, baying for her death and the rest of her parties. They made it halfway from the now broken wall to the mouth of the corridor.
Blades!
Metals lashed out and formed themselves into destructive weapons that rose out of the walls and floor. The undead's natural movement drove them through these weapons and tore them apart. The metal creations weren't done, forming into spears and other weapons, any form that could hurt or harm the undead that came through their domain, cut outward. Undead harpies rushed through. Their agile bodies escaped the tunnel, only to be met by the air creation's blades. All the while, Susie watched over the destruction. One of her light creations fired, hitting an undead that was about to attack Dave's side.
Thanks, Suze. Just find that box.
Susie only needed to give a glance to different undead for her creations to attack them. Having her consciousness linked to the creations made them similar to an extension of her body. She thought, they reacted. It had taken her some time to get used to it, instead of just using word commands. With her higher willpower and the staff, it gave her a larger range where it would work. Her spoken instructions would work over a larger area, but it wasn't as controlled. Her control now showed. As soon as she saw an issue, her creations rushed to solve it. It was like multiple minds working as one, thinking the same way, but able to act independently of one another.
I think I might know where it is, but we've got some problems, Dave said. Where is it?
Dia panted, as she jumped out of the way of the Bone Lord's sword. Multiple fireballs attacked its face, blackening the bones that made up its helmet and making it stagger as Steve landed a monstrous hit.
All the way at the top of the library, and there are 3 more Bone Lords guarding it. Seems all the undead are down here with us, though. Figure out a way to get us up there.
Dia dodged a frantic swipe by the Bone Lord.
How am I supposed... Okay, I might have an idea.
What?
Anna asked.
Reverse underworld.
Dave sounded as if he were smiling.
The hell is that?
Dia asked.
We need to work on your movie knowledge. Malsor, I'm going to need your help.
Dave crashed through 4 undead as Susie shook her head. Dave might be an inventor, but he was fiercely loyal to those he called his friends. He was always looking to become stronger and making those he cared for as strong as possible. Dia wondered whether he knew just how strong of a fighter he was, as he fought off the most undead by himself. Susie and Induka could keep the undead at a distance, but Dave was right in the middle of them, conjuring spears from the ground or slamming a shield into his opponent's face.
Chapter 15.
watching from afar. The Aleph Council was silent as they watched the Stone Raiders fight their way through the college. There were the sounds of pain, of weapons clashing, and spells being unleashed. The Stone Raiders were deathly silent, their ears plugged and their mouths moving, but nothing could be heard or read from their lips.
"How are they communicating?" Koza asked.
"They are using a system of chats. For their party, they're different groups that they are a part of when they come together to fight bigger groups, and the guild chat, where the guild leaders talk to one another, and important information is brought up and orders given," Shard said.
"Why so complicated?"
Sela asked, a puzzled expression on her face.
"Three reasons. First, so that they don't fall under the thrall of the harpies that are there. They also don't know how much power the Archlich has over his domain. If he can hear what they are saying, then he might be able to figure out their plan. Finally, because they're acting and reacting, having just one chat between people would turn into absolute chaos."
"Aren't they going to fall back? They've lost a third of their forces," Hamdir interjected.
"Within 6 hours, those forces will be back. Right now, they are at their strongest. They might drive their way to the Archlich or pull back to a defensible position."
Shard cocked his head to the side.
"It seems that they have found the location of the Archlich's phylactery."
"Where is it?"
Ella Dorne looked to Shard.
"It is located in the Grand Library at the highest floor. Dave has sensed that there are 3 Bone Lords in the room with it."
"Are we sure that the Stone Raiders are sound in mind?" Mida shook her head, as if not believing what she was seeing.
"I have deemed that they are perfectly sane. Why do you ask?
Shard, have you noticed that most of them are smiling?"
"Councilwoman Mida, it is indeed hard to understand the Stone Raiders' mindset. But this is what they love the most. Say you have a problem in front of you. It looks impossible to overcome, yet you and your friends don't care how hard it looks. You've taken on 12 other challenges. All of them seemed impossible at one time or another, but you kept at it. You drove yourself and your friends so that you solved that problem. That is the same thing with the Stone Raiders. They're a group of friends who have done the impossible time and time again. They know that they're going to beat this Archlich. They have faith in themselves and in one another. They might die 1 time, or 100 times. Each time they will come back, more powerful than the last, better prepared and ready to defeat their enemy. The Stone Raiders have 2 things on their side: trust and time. They have trust in one another to do their best and help one another to complete their mission. They have trust that they will complete this raid no matter what. They see this as fun. They're excited and happy because this is the most challenging fight they've had to date."
"You said that they have time," Hamdir reminded Shard.
"Correct. They might die, but they come back every time. While this in itself is a huge advantage, death is no longer the end to them. It is an opportunity. It also makes their lives slightly boring. There is no fear of dying, but there is the fear of failure. They call themselves the Stone Raiders, as they love going on raids with one another, fighting the biggest things they can find for the sheer challenge of it. Death holds nothing on them. But failing, to them, it's worse than death."
Silence fell over the room, each of the council members lost in their own thoughts. Hamdir changed the different views, looking at a different preset. His eyes went wide as he watched Party Zero fighting. Susie, Dave, and Induka were hammering undead with everything in their arsenal. Malsor stood out of the way. Hamdir changed views, looking at all of the walls that were keeping the different undead out of the lobby.
"How do they have that much power?"
Hamdir talked to himself, as he switched back to the view that looked over the three who were fighting the Bone Lord. With its natural resistances, strength, and armor, it was already a hard opponent.